Hallelujah. When the Lord looked at the earth, he said there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the earth was void and was without form. And he said, let there be light, and that light filled that space. It filled that space. Darkness had to flee. I'm here to tell you, God's presence can fill that space, that emptiness, that void, and turn it into a place of living things. Hallelujah. Lively things, things of hope. The Bible says he created that plant and the seed was in it. There was hope inside that seed, inside that fruit. There was the next generation had hope. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to make an apology to the church that Sunday, that it was Memorial Day and somehow slipped my mind to honor our military, and I apologize for that. And I called Brother Gidrose up and chewed him out. And I called him and I said, Brother, you know what we didn't do. We didn't say anything. And even someone in the prayer room said, let's pray for our military. And I'm like, well, that's good. We need to pray for our military. But I didn't. I'm going to say I was just getting back from vacation. I don't know what his excuse was. But I appreciate all you that had any part to do with yesterday's functions and activities. We had a great time here, good turnout, and bearing with me while I was gone for a couple weeks. The first week was a lot of rain. Y'all didn't get it, but we did. And the next week was much more pleasant. But I'm feeling refreshed tonight, so I can preach, make up for all the times I've missed, right? But I'll just do it in little bits. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. And I'll read to you what the Lord has laid on my heart that I hope, and I appreciate this church so, so much, because what you allow me to do is to preach to one or 100 or two or three or whatever. I appreciate you that support the total ministry of this church to everybody that I preach to. That's important, that we become a team and we support everything that's done in this church, because it could be you that needs the help next time. Romans chapter 11, verse 1, he said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now, let me set this up before I read any further. He is talking to the Jews that have been converted at Rome, and they're kind of like, wait a minute, you know, I thought we were God's people. And it's not our people that's getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not our people that's receiving all the preaching that's going on and the churches that are being started. So I say then, hath God cast away his people? He said, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. Look at me. I'm one of you, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. I'm here to tell you, God has not cast you away. He foreknew you before you, your mother and your daddy ever met. He knew you. He's not going to cast away those that he foreknew. Would ye not that what the scripture saith of Isaiah, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have digged down thy altars, and I am left alone. Wow, and they seek my life. Lord, if they get me, there's not going to be anybody else that's going to spread this word. But what saith the answer of God unto him? God answered him, I have reserved. Thank God he's got a reserve. Amen. I have reserved. Anybody, you driving your car and it goes ding, 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 and you thank God there was a reserve? I even had one little of my four-wheelers got a reserve, and you have to turn it over. There's been a time or two I forgot about checking the gas. If it hadn't had a reserve, I'd have been left out in the woods. But I turn it. Thank God he's got a reserve. Hallelujah. I have reserved to myself 7,000, not 7,000 men. Who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant. Don't worry about that. There's a remnant. You're not alone tonight, according to the election of grace. I want to talk about him saying, I am left alone. I want to talk about the lonely spot tonight, just for a little while. Let me reach to somebody tonight about the lonely spot. God, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, for your presence. If truly your presence had not been with me at many times, I would have felt like I was alone. Hallelujah. But through knowing you, God, I realize that you stick closer than a brother does. And you stick, Lord, when nobody else will stick. Even in my wrongness and in my folly, God, you're still there with me and with us, God. And I'm thankful for you, God, that you're an everlasting Father. You're not just a Father for a little while, but you're an everlasting Father. And you treat us like your children, never to cast us away. In Jesus' name, I love you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. a lonely spot, the lonely spot. I doubt that anybody can truthfully say tonight that you have never been lonely. Lonely is a part of life. And you might think, well, that was the bad part of life. And it indeed can be. But there are many times that you feel like you're alone fighting in a battle that it is just you fighting and that nobody else is fighting. Have you ever done this? I have many, many, many times. I'm going to text. I've typed text in, erased them. Y'all don't even have a clue how many texts I've typed. And right before I hit send, I hit erase. Because I realized that that's not going to help me. That's not going to change anything. And so I realized that some things I just got to solve, me and God. Sometimes sharing things is wonderful, but other times sharing things is to your own detriment. And so Paul has gone from, in his early days as a very studious person, studying at the feet of Gamaliel, maybe going to be the next guy on the Sanhedrin court, perhaps, surely he would have been. But he's gone from a very lucrative spot in his life, and now he finds himself in a very lonely spot in his life, converted from a hunter to the hunted, if you will. He used to hunt down Christians, and now they're scared of him. And so he's rejected, it seems like, by his former politics buddies, and some of them said, Paul, too much learning hath made thee mad. You know, you've gone crazy. What do you think you're doing turning against us like this? What are you doing on the other side? Don't you remember you used to kill them? You must have spent too many nights studying and burning the midnight oil and ran out of oil or something because something's wrong with you. He said, no, oh, most noble Festus, I'm not mad at all. I wish that you were as I am, except for these bonds. I wish you had the oil I've got. Hallelujah. I just wish you didn't have the bonds that I've got. I'm not crazy and I'm not mad. He said, I do think myself happy. And I'm here to tell you, you can think yourself happy. Hallelujah. You can be alone and think yourself happy. Boy, there's sometimes I have good laughing fits right by myself. I do. Man, hallelujah. So Paul finds himself alone. He's not accepted by his former apostles, the other 12 guys. They've replaced one. I'll talk about that in a minute. But he finds they don't want any part of him. See, he's teaching Gentiles. He's the smartest man teaching the lowest people. They were the dumbest people, sorry, but they were just fishermen teaching the most educated people. That made them feel good. But this man would humble himself. And he would humble himself to be the most educated, yet teach, he said, to the Greek, I am a Greek. To the barbarian, the lowest, I am that. That I become all things to all men that I might win some. He was a soul winner. He was all about winning souls. He wasn't about prestige, who he sat by, who would vote for him or anything like that. Nothing about the money. Let me tell you, Paul was never about the money. And he just would live for God, love God, and tell of the whole counsel of God. He said, I told of the whole counsel of God every place I went. He didn't spare anything to anybody. He told it. I love people that tell it just like it is, don't you? And so when you look here, he's not accepted by the apostles, and then he's not accepted by his former classmates, if you will. So where does he fit in? Have you ever felt like a misfit? What happens is that when you become a misfit, you find like you yourself is isolated. You find you want to fit. So everybody wants to be accepted, but you find you're really not accepted here. You're really not accepted there. But I want to tell you that it's not always a bad thing. But to be considered an apostle in the Bible today, they had some criteria that you had to go through to be called an apostle. Now, let me just share this with you, because we're going to learn something tonight, okay? When Jesus called his apostles, what were they doing? Fishing, tax collectors, physicians, all these things. But now Judas is gone, and now they want to fulfill. And I'll read you the scripture. They want to fulfill the vacancy of Judas. So they have this methodology that they're going to go through and criteria, such as if you want to be a licensed preacher, here's the qualifications. Now, it has nothing to do with your heart, you understand? Right. It has nothing to do with what you... You just meet these criteria, and we hand you this little license. Now you can go preach the gospel. Well, honey, if God didn't call you, I don't care what license you got. Right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. And so here in Acts chapter 1 and 20, they have a meeting. For it is written in the book of Psalms. See, they're going back to the Psalms about replacing Judas. Let his habitation be desolate. That's Judas. And let no man dwell therein. and his bishopric let another take. So let someone else become the bishop where Judas was the bishop. Let's replace him. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So let's pick some men that were there when he turned the water into wine. Let's pick some ones when we went over to Jerusalem. You needed to be there. Was you there at Lazarus? Okay, you're a candidate. Was you there when he healed Peter's mother? Okay, you. And they finally come down to a couple people. They said, beginning from the baptism of John. Now, was you there at the baptism of John? No. Well, you can't be an apostle. You wasn't there at the baptism of John. Now, you there at the baptism of John? Okay, you're a candidate. And so they're picking out their candidate, okay? Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us. Must be continual. Must be one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So if you wasn't there at the baptism of John, and you didn't go with us for the 3.5 years, and you didn't go in and out of the cities and temples with him, and you wasn't there at the cross, and you didn't witness the resurrection, you can't be part, you can't be an apostle. And they appointed two, they found two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, this is good, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest all the hearts of all men, because they didn't know. They didn't know Judas's heart. Jesus even picked Judas and said, Have I not chosen 12? And one of ye is the devil. Okay? So if it's not that Jesus didn't know his part because he was saying this man is chosen for this cause. But I don't know people's hearts. That's why you got to give them some benefit of the doubt, as we say. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, shew whether of these two thou hast chosen. Now, guess what? After they do that, they're going to vote. That's like casting your vote. If we did that, in the election for president, and we cast our vote, show us, Lord, which ones you have chosen. And we cast our vote, and then that ain't who I voted for. Well, watch that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, if you will, or their vote. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now we've got 12 apostles, and we can go on. I'm just going to say that I'm not so sure but what Paul should have been that 12th apostle. I'm not so sure but what Brother Paul should have. They had waited a little longer. They would have found a man named Paul and said, this is the guy. But there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong with what they did. But anytime you have a rigid way of doing things, okay, you had to meet all these criteria, many times you get unspiritual doing that. And you're looking for someone that fits the criteria you set forth. And if they don't meet your criteria, we can't use you. I'm not saying what they did wrong. I'm just saying that many times if you get too rigid in your selection of anything, then you counteract the Spirit of God. And so the Apostle Paul, guess what? He was born out of season, he said, and he was not there. He was not there with Jesus when he went to turn the water into the wine. He was not there at the cross. He was not there at the resurrection. He did not have anything to do with John the Baptist. He did not fit their criteria. Had Paul been sitting there amongst them, they would not have chosen him. I wonder how many good pastors have been turned down and bad ones elected. And so here Paul, void of all the things that they required, he becomes the lonely apostle. And he was the man that held the coats while they stoned Stephen. Now, you sure wouldn't want to put him as an apostle while he was the one that held the coat that killed the first martyr that was a Christian. He can't be an apostle with us. Possible. You see, we would have never voted King David to be the pastor of the Carlos United Pentecostal Church. It had never happened. No, because he wouldn't have met the rigid qualifications. And so I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Just because you don't meet man's qualifications does not mean you don't meet God's qualifications. Because God does not look on the outward appearance, but he looks at the inside of a man to see if he's qualified or not. All right. And so here we have them that if that have elected Matthias, and Paul later comes into view, and Paul is an apostle, he said, born out of season. Because guess what? He did meet the resurrected Christ. He met him on the road to Damascus when a light shined down upon him and qualified him, hallelujah, to be an apostle. Apostleship really means sent of God. That's what it means, sent of God. Apostles are those people that go into unplowed territory. Now, we have people that pastor churches today and they tack the name apostle on their name. I don't even put reverend in front of my name. I don't even like that. Bless God for all those that do, that's fine. There was not but one that we should reverend, and they put him on a cross and killed him. Hallelujah. So don't demand respect from people. You earn that respect. Hallelujah. Just because you have a title in front of your name or behind your name, there are doctors in prison today that were MDs. They wrote bad prescriptions to people and got hooked on the stuff they were writing and did all kinds of wrong things. Just because they had the degree doesn't mean they practiced good medicine. And so Paul was qualified by God himself and sent of God himself. When he was struck down by this light, he says to God, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul, it is hard to kick against the pricks. He said, "Lord, what must I do?" He said, "I want you to go to a man's house called Ananias and there to be told thee." See, he's got to be preached to too. Did you know preachers got to be preached to too? Amen. And so go to Ananias. So on the road now, he gets his calling, but he gets his conversion at the house. Yes, he gets his conversion at the house. And I will tell you that there's always an Ananias in your life. How many can say, "Hey, there was an Ananias in my life"? Somebody was my Ananias. Hallelujah. And once he was converted, he was strongly rejected by all the other converts. They didn't want any, "Lord," even Ananias, "Lord, I've heard about this man. Oh, God, why did you send him to me?" Hallelujah. How do you spell that straight street anyway? Maybe it's another street called straight. I don't know. But Lord, I heard about him. And he said, "Lord," he said, "I want to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. You just do your part." And so Ananias did. And Paul received the Holy Ghost at Ananias' house. And shackles fell from off of him as it would be scales. And his sight was restored unto him. Because God wasn't going to send him out blind. He sent him out with his sight. And while other men were scared of Paul to accept him, let me tell you who did accept him. The devils accepted him for who his relationship with God. The devils trembled at Paul, so that even one devil goes to cast out another devil, and the devil speaks out of the devil and says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who in the world are you?" The devils knew Paul. I want the devils to accept me. That's right. I want them to know that I serve the Lord. Hallelujah. If they mess with me, I'll call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So Paul was attacked on every side. And he said, he wrote in one letter, he said, "I'm troubled on every side, yet not in despair." It just kept coming. You know what it's like to just, it just kept coming. It just keeps coming. It's like, nothing's going right. And before you can get one thing fixed, something else is broke. Amen. It's kind of like the rain right now. It just keeps coming. And Paul had hit this lonely spot where God isolates you so that you can talk to yourself and God can talk to you. Can you hear me now? He wants to isolate you so that he can talk to you and you can talk to yourself. Paul finds himself in prisons, isolated, saying, "Please bring me more paper and pen. I have things to write," because God was talking to him in isolation. And I want to talk to you tonight about isolation and about being alone in that lonely spot that maybe you find yourself in this evening. Almost every letter that Paul wrote, he wrote about being alone. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Send John Mark, he's now profitable to the gospel. And I was left alone, saved for the Lord Jesus Christ." Every place, every letter he wrote, he talked about how lonely. "I thank you that you took care of my needs and my necessities was met. Thank you so much for that." He was a lonely man, but a used man. Whew. My, may be on to something here. He writes, and Luke writes this in Acts concerning Paul. He says, serving the Lord, he said, with all humility of mind and with many tears. Paul is talking of his testimonies, serving the Lord, humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. Woo! Have you ever been in a time of tears and temptation? My, which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. He was fighting the tears and fighting the enemy and temptations too. I'm troubled on every side. Amen. I'm fighting and I'm crying. I'm fighting the tears, but I know I can't dry them up. I got to go to work tomorrow. And you keep fighting the enemy on every side, on every front. At the same time you're fighting, you want to quit too. Hallelujah. And Paul's writing these letters, and no doubt the tears are flowing and hitting the ink and as it runs upon the paper. But he knows this. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He knew that if he could endure weeping, would last for the night, but that joy would come in the morning. He wasn't so carried away with this day, this night. The world was night to him. The day was heaven to him. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his word will abide forever. He put that word in his heart, and he wrote these words to us. We're still 2,000 years later feasting and eating off of the words that Paul wrote in a lonely time of his life. My. Then he says in 2 Corinthians 7 and 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without, we're fighting. Without, we're fighting. Within, we're fears. Woo! I'm fighting and fearful at the same time. I'm scared not to fight, and I'm scared to fight. But I'm going to fight because that's what the Lord said. I'm going to fight a good fight, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and vain imaginations, all these kinds of things. I got to fight this fight, but I'm scared. You ever fought scared before? I have. I knew I had to fight, but I was scared too. And then he writes about fighting the beast, the plural, the beast of Ephesus, and how relentless it was and how fearful it was.